Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Sports sponsorship by companies that sell booze is so common now that it's hard to imagine it being any other way. But it needs to change, according to Steve Stannard. He's head of the School of Sport and Exercise at Massey University and the organiser of the conference Sport and Alcohol, Finding the Balance. And he's with us now. Well, Steve, I presume you would agree that the association of sport and alcohol isn't a particularly new thing. I'm thinking of the row of DB rugby annuals that I used to get every year as a child, which are now sitting in my lounge. So it was there even then, wasn't it?
Well, it was there long before. I don't know how old you are, but it was there long before that, I suspect. You know, people used to imbibe in alcohol prior to exercise and thinking that it was going to improve their performance, for instance. And,
really?
And, oh, yeah. There's stories of, I could go on, but there's stories of people, you know, in the start of the modern Olympics where, you know, start of the marathon, I'll drink, a glass of whiskey because it's going to make me go faster. I think we've shown that it doesn't quite work like
that. Well, at least if it was beer, you'd have the calories.
Because these days the only sport that is proven where alcohol actually helps you is darts. Is that right? I mean, those English players, they get up, they drink 6 pints in the morning, some of them, and then they play great darts.
Yeah,
and actually, Paul, you're always better when you drink a few.
That may be a myth.
I think the study needs to be done on darts, but certainly it's, you know, alcohol is very closely associated with that sport, as it is for many others too.
Are things any worse now?
Interesting question, because, you know, some of the discussion we've had at the conference is what happens if you were to remove alcohol sponsorship from sport, and the model that they went back to was cigarettes. What happened when we removed or banned cigarettes or tobacco sponsoring of sport? And some would say that, it just went on to alcohol. So in that context, maybe that's partly true. I'm not really sure. But cigarette tobacco advertising is not there anymore. It certainly, it seems to be, it's gotten a little bit worse, or we're more reliant upon alcohol sponsorship than we used to be. I could say that fairly certainly.
A lot of the gap in tobacco sponsorship has been picked up by organisations like Smoke Free as well. I mean, would we need an alcohol-free government initiative to jump in there and cover some of that shortfall, do you think?
Yeah, well, a number of the delegates suggested that's the way to go, and Jim Anton this morning got up and suggested that was an option. Kerry O'Brien said the same thing, and even Steve Mahari on the first day of the conference indicated that maybe we've got to try something like that.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult in the case of something like the Rugby World Cup, though, isn't it? Because the Heineken deal's a global one, and that's done outside New Zealand. What can you do about that?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. There's bigger fish to fry there, and I guess we've looked at things on a New Zealand perspective. Yeah, it's hard to, I mean, as a small country, it's hard to sort of dictate what goes on elsewhere. We can look at what's happened elsewhere as a bit of a model, and other places have been, other countries have been successful in removing alcohol sponsorship from sport. Others struggle like we do.
There is obviously a proven success for sponsors, isn't there? I mean, Heineken wouldn't spend the millions that it's spending to sponsor the Rugby World Cup if it didn't get a payback.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it works. Yeah. It's you know, the marketing people in alcohol companies, they are just brilliant. Yeah.
But by the same token, I have to say I've spoken to someone fairly senior at DB who was horrified by the Party Central thing which came up, you know, via the Prime Minister around the Rugby World Cup. He said that's not what we're trying to promote at all. We want the fan zones to be family friendly. You know, we're not promoting heavy drinking. I mean, what do you make of that?
You know, that's an interesting comment, because they're co-papa, and that's probably not the right word, but it's close enough, is that it's to improve revenue and it's to increase sales, and that would be ultimately all they're worried about, and they wouldn't really, I don't think, care how that's done. A large proportion of sales in New Zealand are through binge drinking.
Is there any evidence, I mean, that's the fans, obviously, is there any evidence that alcohol sponsorship increases the players' drinking of that product? I mean, as we get more and more professional, I'm thinking sports like, you know, rugby and so forth, they obviously still drink a bit, but presumably not so much when they're training.
Look, I think the answer to that is not. The professionals, they're closely monitored. They, we have a perception that they're the ones that do all the drinking. In actual, and there's a, you know, one overnight even. In actual fact, they're fairly closely observed, looked at, controlled. But if they drink, it's not because, well, I could be wrong, but I suspect it's not because the associated stand around them is full of alcohol sponsorship. It's because that's how they've been brought up. And they've been brought up in a sporting environment that is just covered, awash with alcohol. So it's not the actual environment there in that particular time that causes those problems. It's the way they've come through and grown up as a young person in New Zealand.
So, yeah, it's everyone back to the club rooms where there's a bar.
Yeah, and it's your six-year-olds that get the whatever you got when you were six, you know. It's normalising what alcohol is, normalising its association with sport, right from a young age.
Do we have any good research on what the impact of that presence of alcohol around sport is? You know, how bad is the effect?
I don't think there's good data in New Zealand on that. And in fact, around the world, to be honest, there's very little research in the whole sport and alcohol field.
So, in terms of the effect of alcohol on the performance of a sports person?
Yeah, there's some research. There's not nearly enough. Some of the research we've done at Massey University has been looking at the way having a moderate amount of alcohol after, say, a match or some sort of strenuous exercise can impact the recovery process. And what we've shown is that it does have a worsening or a detrimental effect on the rates of recovery. But to be honest, there's not many people doing that sort of research around the world.
That wouldn't surprise too many people, though, would it, if you drink alcohol in any way involved in a sort of, you know, physical strenuous exercise or being at the peak? You know, it will reduce your peak performance.
Yeah, it seems like it's not rocket science. It seems fairly obvious, but in fact, no one's done that research. And the interesting thing about our research is that when we exercised the muscles of these people strenuously and gave them a moderate amount of alcohol, and the amount of alcohol that wouldn't put them near going over the driving limit, that 36 and 60 hours later, their muscles still hadn't recovered compared to when we'd just given them orange juice.
So what do you think is going to come out of the conference?
I would like to think an awakening, perhaps. That's too big a word. An increase in interest of the close association. The close association that alcohol has with sport, and in particular the way the alcohol industry has normalised the fact that sport and alcohol are together. Sport and alcohol don't have to be together, but it's such that we just think that whenever you go to a sporting context, there's alcohol involved. One thing that really stands out for me is I can go down to the local shopping centre and there's like a brand name? A Tui, you know, we all know what Tui is, a Tui store, and it's got like orange T-shirts with Tui written on them. It's got sporting paraphernalia. I want to say that the alcohol marketing people are so brilliant. People will pay money to buy a Tui shirt to advertise a Tui product. So not only are they making revenue out of actually selling the shirt, they're advertising it for free. It's just brilliant stuff, isn't it?
Is this a particularly New Zealand problem? I mean, or is it obviously Heineken sponsoring the World Cup isn't, but do basketball in America, baseball in America, sponsored by alcohol brands?
I guess the closest culture to New Zealand would be Australia, and it's a very similar sort of a situation over there. America's a little bit different. It exists. The sporting culture in Americans is professional and then college, and under that there's not so much. But at the college level over there, it's a bit different. Drinking age is a bit different. It's not quite the same, but it's...
Because what I'm wondering is the problem that we've got the drinking culture first and it just happens to be therefore that that gets associated?
Yeah, a lot of people say, look, you know, the reason why we've got some problems with sport and alcohol is that it reflects our culture. And so that when, you know, so-and-so sports person goes off the rails and gets drunk at 5 o'clock in the morning, hits someone over the head with a handbag, well, that's just what we do anyway. My argument is that why would anyone sponsor, let's say, the All Blacks and... if they didn't think the All Blacks had an effect on society. So I think it cuts both ways. While our culture has an effect on what, say, sports people do, what our sports people do reflects what we do. And so what happens in sports has an influence on us. So let's not, you know, so definitely the alcohol sponsorship within the sporting environment, the drinking patterns of our elite sports people, they have to impact upon our children and us, even as adults.
Okay, well, Steve, thank you very much. And best of luck with it, because I think it is an issue.
Yeah, no, thank you very much.
Steve Stannard there. After the break, a TV science show that aims to inform and entertain.